Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And yes, I am here alive tonight. I want to thank Pastor John Lutz for filling in for me last week. I was under the weather, and there's a bunch of stuff, flu and things going around. I was looking at something. I never had the test, but I think I had influenza A from all I can figure out from the symptoms and everything. And that is the one that's making the rounds, at least here in Summit County, where I'm from. Summit County Health Department said influenza A is really big in Summit County right now. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cough left, but doing much better. And I sure appreciate everybody's prayers last week. Appreciate Pastor John Lutz for filling in for me last week. And it's always nice when I can have somebody like that I can turn to and trust that you'll be in good hands when he's on the radio here sitting filling in. Usually it's on a Friday afternoon that he fills in for me or I fill in for him. Generally speaking, most times I've really had not much of a problem with being here on Sunday night, despite the weather, despite illness and all that. We've been doing this for quite a number of years, and I remember until 2021 when I had 21 I had COVID, and I was out for a couple of Sundays. That had been the first time that I was not here on a Sunday night in, oh man, it had to have been 15 years or something like that. So it's always a little bit interesting to not be here on a Sunday night. So, but again, I'm thankful that Pastor Lutz filled in for me, and I heard the program. I was sitting in a recliner, blankets piled over me, and listening to some of the program, and I enjoyed listening. So I thought at one point about calling in, but realized I didn't have the voice for it. So I could have called in anonymously. I guess nobody would have recognized my voice. And my voice was kind of ragged. And this crazy cough that's going on. So I'll apologize in advance. I get talking tonight. I'll probably have an occasion to cough a little bit. So bear with us. I, again, continue to appreciate your prayers. We had somebody filled in for us at church last Sunday. And that was good. And then today, of course, I was kind of trying to take it a little bit easy. This past Friday, I filled in for Pastor Lutz on his Friday afternoon program at 1 o'clock for the Cause of Christ, and then had our program at 1:30. And then, so I had an hour on the radio this past Friday, and then went home, got a little rest, and we had our Friday night Bible study. And during the radio time, and of course during our Friday night Bible study, I'm sitting the whole time, so it wasn't too bad. So I thought I was doing pretty good, but I'll tell you what, even this morning when I got up and just doing the morning Bible study before the message, this morning before our morning service, standing and talking, it was a whole lot different than sitting and talking. Still getting over, still trying to build up my energy and everything. Still trying to get over some of this coughing and everything. And so I appreciate everybody bearing with me at church today. And, of course, I appreciate Brother Brian Starr coming out. Him and his wife, Diana, came out, and she played the cello for us. And he actually preached this morning and preached this evening. So I just had to do announcements and, as I said, the morning Bible study. And basically take it easy a little bit, stay off my feet as much as possible. And I am feeling so much better than I did a week ago. I'm feeling better than I did 5 days ago. And I was hopeful that this would be gone and everything would be over quickly. But everybody that's had it has told me you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, you'll get a resurgence of it. And I know several people that have had a resurgence of it. So just trying to take it easy. And again, thank you for everybody's prayers. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I am Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you here tonight. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, You can certainly find out more about me, more about the program there, and a number of things that we have on there, some articles and such that I have on there, links to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which certainly invites you to come visit us. And we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We're in a little commercial strip, and there in Richfield. We'll have more information on that through the program. But check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can see a number of things there. Listen to past programs. We did have a request given to us last Friday about wanting to know when the program from last Sunday would be uploaded. And I had mentioned on the radio that I did not yet have a copy of it, but when I leave here tonight, I should have a copy of tonight's program and last week's program. And so hopefully somewhere in the next day or two, we'll get last week's program uploaded as well as tonight's program. So again, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, listen to past programs and things there as well. In the meanwhile, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. And we do pray that you would bless, Lord. Help me with my voice tonight and the coughing. Keep that under control. Again, thank you for being able to be back this week. Thank you for Pastor Lutz filling in last week. And again, thank you for everybody's prayers during this past week with being sick and everything. Sure, appreciate that. Thank you so much, Lord. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. Help us to point people to searching to Christ. Encourage us as we walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And our phone number, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can get on the air here tonight if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Also want to mention, as a program note, coming up later in the program tonight, in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined with somebody who's got a project called the Traditional Church or Traditional Worship Church Locator. And it's a website where you can find churches that use traditional hymns and the traditional styles of worship. And so I talked to him earlier in the week, and kind of an interesting project, a retirement project that he's doing. And Steve Ricker, he'll be with us later on at 11, in the 11 o'clock hour. So hope you'll be able to stay tuned for that as well. But in the meantime, like I said, our number is 888-677-9673. And I believe that Nancy was our first calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al. I'm glad you're feeling better, but I can sense that you're not completely well.
Not 100%, but much better than I was.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And that was wonderful of Pastor Brian Starr, filling in for you this morning and evening. He's come to our church a number
yes.
of times. And I love his wife, Diane, when she plays the cello.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that she plays cello.
She did, but I have to let you know something. We had extra special. Brian Starr pulled a harmonica out and played a harmonica. And I thought all we need now is somebody that's skilled on the kazoo and we'd be set. But no, he actually was pretty good as a addition to his message. He played a short few bars on a harmonica, which I don't know that I've heard him play that before. He actually is pretty good.
Excellent.
So if he comes back to your church, I'll have to ask him to play his harmonica for you.
Oh, okay. Now, I don't know if you recall, my friend Joe Udovic, who used to be my neighbor, he's now in Michigan. We had three Euclid Tea Parties in 2009 and 2010.
Right.
Well, my favorite verse when we had this tea party, and I had a big sign. I mean, a lot of people were holding up signs. But my favorite verse was 2 Chronicles 7:14, very famous. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, that was my favorite verse But I was defining it in a certain way that I've heard Bible experts just recently define the word people, if my people would call by name. I was, and also the word land. I was assuming that you could apply this to Christians, but then these Bible experts said, no, this is referring to Jewish people. And then at the end where they say, I will heal their land, I was thinking, well, this could apply to United States or other lands if they go through this whole procedure, you know, humble themselves, pray, seek face. But these Bible experts said, no, that was talking about Israel. So I would like to know which is, in your opinion or from your perspective, how would you define people? My people would call by my name. Would you say that this was referring to the Jewish people? Or then, even if it was, couldn't you apply it to Christians? And then also, I will heal their land, talking about Israel. Could that be applied to the United States or other lands if these people followed all these procedures? Thank you.
Well, that's actually a very good question, and other people have wondered along those lines. I'm going to give you a passage in the New Testament that I think will answer the question, but before I do that, let me just mention the context clearly is Israel, and God has appeared to Solomon. Solomon has shortly become king, and he built the temple and all these sorts of things, and excuse me, God is dealing with him, and he's talking about how he's supposed to govern as the king and how the people are supposed to be. And so clearly the context is Israel, and the primary application is to the Jewish people. That's very obvious, and I can see where they're saying that. But there is a passage in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. This verse came to my mind as soon as you started asking the question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, and he's talking about Israel, and he's talking about the things that have happened to Israel that are recorded in the Old Testament, just like what you were reading there with Solomon and the comments there. And this is what he writes. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. But notice that phrase. There are two phrases, actually. The first one, all these things happened unto them for examples, which is examples, basically. It's spelled in the King James, E-N-S-A-M-P-L-E-S. It's the same as examples, basically. And so he's saying that what we're reading about, when you read that passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where God said to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What he's saying there is that is an example to us. So that's the first part of that. If it's an example, then obviously we're supposed to be able to apply some of that to us today, aren't we? It wouldn't be much of an example if you can't apply any of it to us today. As I said, the primary application is to the Jewish people. That's who it was given to. Excuse me. But there is a principle there that's an example. If the Jewish people who serve God and were called God's people were to have these problems and everything, and the pestilence came and all, that this is what they were to do. And it gives us an example that as God's people today, if we're not seeing the blessing of God on our lives and on our land and everything, we need to turn back to God in prayer, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. So there's an example there. The second thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, after saying now all these things happened unto them for examples, it says next, they are written for our, and what's the phrase there? Our admonition. And you think about that, our admonition, what he's literally saying there when he says our admonition, he's talking about something that's to get our attention and to rebuke or warn us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? You admonish somebody. Hey, you know, you need to be careful. What do we tell children? You know, don't run out in the street. You need to stop and look both ways before going into the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? We're admonishing them. We're giving mm-hmm. them a warning. Perhaps we saw them start to run into the street and we stopped them. And we admonish them, don't run into the street without looking. So why are mm-hmm. we doing that? We're doing mm-hmm. that because they're potentially doing something that's dangerous or hurtful, and mm-hmm. we want to help them. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, they're written for our admonition. When we look back to what's written there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, mm-hmm. which are called by my name, he says, this is an admonition to us. We need to look at what the Jewish people did and how they were blessed of God and then turned from him. And God rebuked them and said to turn back to me. And if you do this, this is what I'll do. And we need to be admonished by that so that we don't make the same mistakes that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
that's what I thought.
Yeah. So as I said, so again, the primary application, yes, is the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
But this is written for our admonition to be an example for us today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a secondary application to Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you pointed out 1 Corinthians 10:11.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's an example.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you. That's sort of the way I perceived it, but the way some Bible scholars say, well, it just applies to the Jewish people and, you know, Israel. But,
right.
But I thought it was like an example for us or for any people
mm-hmm.
who want to live a godly life and do what Jesus said, you know, what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So it's an applicant. Well, anyhow, thank you. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Well, and you know, I would even go further. People during the tribulation that read this, it's going to be an admonition and an example for them as well.
Oh, that's true.
And that's let's take it a step further. During the millennial reign of Christ,
uh-huh.
it'll also be an example there and an admonition.
Oh, so, excellent.
Mm-hmm. So it really is good. I understand where, you know, like I said, I understand where they're coming from when they say, well, this is written about the Jewish people for the Jewish people. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, you know, I've heard it said in the past, and I'm sure many of our listeners have, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And
mm-hmm.
A variation on that, the best commentary in the Old Testament is the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a New Testament commentary on the things that are written in the Old Testament. So
okay, well, thank you very much for explaining that. Perfect.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I call, and you know, you sound better just in the last 10 minutes. Your voice sounds better.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been coughing here a little bit more than I cared to, but see, what happens is I get talking, and mm-hmm. it makes me cough a little bit. I could sit for an hour and hardly cough at all.
You haven't coughed at all during my call. So
oh, I have. I think some of it's been caught. So,
oh, okay. I guess I didn't.
Yeah, no, I've had more than my share of coughing when we've been talking here. So, but I appreciate
okay.
that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, Kenny does a great job in there. Covered a lot of this, but makes it look good or sound good. But appreciate that tonight, Nancy. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. We got Cheryl calling in tonight, ladies first here this evening. So, Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al. I think this is so wonderful because my question is so related to what Nancy was just talking about.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it very well could be the same verse, but it's broader. But I have one question before I got to my question, and that
yes.
is, I heard the stuff about, you know, who the people are, but the verse has a promise in it. And so I think a question is that while it's an example for other people, would the promise necessarily be there?
Yeah, as a part of the example, because when you look and continue looking there at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, in the context there, let me just go back up a little bit to verse 12. It says, and the Lord appeared
for other nations.
I'm sorry?
I meant the promise for other nations.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to show how the promise would work.
Okay.
Yeah, he says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And then God says to Solomon, this is where it starts and leads into the if my people which are called by my name part. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send pestilence among my people. So here's the situation. The people are... they're no longer experiencing the blessings of God in their lives and in their land. And then he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. So the idea, again, tying in with 1 Corinthians 10:11, that these things happen unto them for examples and they are written for our admonition, the idea is that I'm not Jewish, I'm a Christian. And if in my life I suddenly stop seeing the blessings of God, and when he said in 2 Chronicles 7:13, shut up heaven, there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people, basically what happens is God's protecting us from these sorts of things. And we stray away from him, and we're no longer listening to him, he removes his hand of protection, and we become exposed to these things. And so we suddenly take stock of our life, and we say, why is God not blessing me anymore? Why am I having these problems in my life? Is it because I'm serving God, and the devil's trying to hinder me, and trying to oppose me, and trying to make me give up? And you say, no, I'm really not doing what I used to be doing for God, so that must not be it. It must be that I'm no longer praying and reading my Bible and doing what I ought to be doing as God's child. You know, look what God did with Israel there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He allowed the pestilence and the locusts and the drought and all that. Maybe I need to get alone with God. And do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and so
actually, it could apply to our country as long as
exactly,
but it really is Israel. Okay.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So we take an example from that, and God admonishes us and says, "Yeah, you need to get back to walking in the straight and narrow, doing the right things."
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay,
and well, whether was it just remember Wednesday? Just Wednesday they had in Washington D.C. at the Museum of the Bible.
Yeah.
The national day of what?
Yes, repentance.
Right. And this is one of the verses they used, or passages they used.
Yes, and that actually is my next question. My real question is the humble part. And so I have looked up in my Strong's about humble yourself from that verse. And because I'm trying to understand the humble part.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it says in here, a couple of things. One is like, I think the one that's most relevant has to do with repentance. And it says, change your life into repentance. So when someone says, humble yourself, does that mean in all cases, humble yourself means repent? Or does it have a variety of meanings?
Well, I would look at humble. It's you're exercising humility, which in many respects is the opposite of pridefulness, because what happens a lot of times when we turn our back on God, we tend to inflate our opinion of ourselves. You know, I can handle this. I don't need God's help on this. I'm okay. I don't need God telling me what to do. and we elevate our own self-worth, our own ability and everything. And the problem is we get ourselves in trouble, and we need to, in a sense, abase ourselves before God, lower ourselves before Him, because that's also what humble means, is to kind of lower yourself. Like when the, for instance, you know, the old, the area where you have a king or something, like a monarch, and the people come, and what do? They bow before the monarch to show, I'm lower than you, you're greater than I am. And they're humbling themselves. And in a sense, what we have to do is we have to say, you know, Lord, I need to bow before you. I am not greater than you. I don't know more than you. I don't know better than you. You know more than me. You know better than me. You are the superior, not me. And we need to, we need to bow before him. That's the humbling. Rather than lifting up ourselves pridefully, we need to turn and, you know, get on our face before him and acknowledge him as our God afresh. That's where we're humbling ourselves. And see, the problem is we tend to build ourselves up, or as a nation, in the case of Israel, the nation themselves, there were times where as a nation, they said, we are this special nation that God called into being. We're better than anybody else. And they also thought they were better than God who called them into being. And they had, as a nation, not just as individuals, but as a nation, they had to humble themselves and say, you know, we're nothing. You're everything.
Yeah, and I think you got it right there. Yep. I think it's, that's it. Humble means acknowledge his place, which is everything, which leads to our trust in him.
Right.
So that is really helpful, and I thought that was great. That, of course, it links to the gathering of the International Day of Repentance. I thought that was wonderful. I watched it, and I hope everybody hearing it, as you said here, will watch it, because it's and it's available on.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the IFA Intercessors for America. You can watch the whole thing, so which is really really wonderful. So anyway, I thought that was great. And when I heard her call, I thought, oh, she's going to ask about humble. She didn't. She asked about people, which I thought was terrific.
Yeah.
So thank you. No, I think just exactly what I wanted to know.
Right, right. And that's good that you brought that out, because that brings out another aspect of that passage that we didn't touch on as much. And of course, that is the key, isn't it, to serving God. Yeah. We need to put God first, not ourselves.
We are nothing, and he is everything.
Right.
Yes. Oh, good. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Al. I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that call tonight, Cheryl, and I appreciate bringing that out about humility and humbling ourselves. That's a very good thing to take note of.
Yeah, so. I think so, too. Oh, good. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. God bless. And we've got a short break coming up here momentarily, I believe. And then we'll have another hour and a half to go. I've got Terry who's waiting, and I think probably we have about a minute. I think 2 minutes. Oh, we can get Terry in here. I thought if we had a minute, we might hold Terry until we come back. But we got 2 minutes. We'll get him on, and we can hold Terry over if necessary. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Good to be here tonight.
Yeah, good to hear that you're back.
Yeah, I was joking, saying that my dad, as I get older, I think more like what my dad used to always say. People would say, how you doing to him? And he'd say, well, I'm vertical. So there's a certain amount of sense to that as you get older, I guess. Yeah, when you're feeling sick, you know, I'm vertical. I'm able to stand up. I'm able to move around. And there's a lot to be said for that. So I was, yeah. So
I have a lot of people always ask me, how are you doing? And I say, well, you know, I always have, you know, there's always problems we deal with during the week. Every day we have to deal with our flesh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes with what we were talking with Nancy and Cheryl about, you know, that constant dealing with ourselves and having to humble ourselves before Almighty God.
Right.
So, yeah. But, Terry, we do have a break coming up in less than a minute, And just let you know in advance, when we come to that, we'll hold you over there. But we can get started thinking on the question before we go into the break, if you want.
Sure. I was going to bring up Matthew chapter 24.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk about what Jesus started out talking about. And that's, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. That shall... Well, actually, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's not where I was going.
Verse 5 there, I think. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Deceive many, and shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and be not troubled.
Hey, got the break coming up right now, so we'll hold that. We'll pick that up in just a few minutes.
Okay.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here this evening. And also, just to let you know, you can give us a call, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can read some articles that I have there. And the most recent article that I have is A Curious Case of Cain. I haven't finished up the February article yet to get it posted. But that's available there. There's some other information there. There's also links to past programs, our Friday night program, our Friday afternoon programs are on every Friday, 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And then, of course, both hours of our Sunday program, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour, are available all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, as well. We're right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where 271 and 77 cross. We'd love to have you visit us there. Again, appreciate everybody praying for me. And my voice is holding out. Good to be back. I was off last week with the flu. And so I appreciate everybody's prayers. And again, appreciate Pastor John Lutz filling in last week. And our regular callers are faithfully calling in as well. Appreciate that. And speaking of regular callers, we were talking with Terry just before going into the break. And get to Terry in just a moment. But I also want to remind you that not only is the Bible Baptist Church our primary sponsor, but we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And if you are out there on the east side, even if you're on the west side, I know Pastor Lutz says that every once in a while he drives from way out on the west side all the way over to the east side just to go to East Coast Pizza. And you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. It's my favorite pizza in the area, and I think you'll enjoy it. But let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, now we'll get back to our programs, and we've got our phone number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who we were talking to going into the break. Terry, are you still with us?
Yes.
All right, great. You were talking about Matthew chapter
four or five,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was going to mention one thing before.
Yes.
I really appreciated John Lutz last week. He was a blessing.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I was able to listen to the program, and I guess the station had a couple, the building had a couple power outages if people were listening and wondered what happened. But he was a blessing. I enjoyed, and it was it's just nice to have somebody you have confidence in. Don't tell Pastor Lutz that I told him I have confidence in him. You know, I have to keep him on his toes, keep him guessing. But I know whenever he's behind the microphone, I can rest easy. So
is he online?
He is on Friday afternoons at 1 o'clock to 1:30. Just before we are at 1:30, and his church services, I think, North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, I think you can find some of his services online as well if you just do a search for North Coast Baptist Church, Lakewood, Ohio.
Okay. That's anybody. I really love it.
Oh, yeah. He's very good.
Especially when you guys are together.
Yeah, and be sure not to tell him I complimented him, because that made me look bad. So, no, we do. I always enjoy when we do a program together. You know, just some people you have the right chemistry, and you can just kind of play off from what each other says. You know, has to say, and he's one of those people. Plus, I just have confidence. I know what he's going to say. It's going to be biblically based.
You guys must have been friends for a long time, have you?
I'm trying to think how long we've known each other. I know it's been over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think when he started his church. I should know this. so I've known him about as long as he's been the pastor out there. So
yeah. Anyway, I was we'll go back to Matthew, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about false prophets and mm-hmm. false teachers. Well, false prophets are false teachers. Same, basically the same thing.
Yeah,
I would take it. But he says, take heed that no man deceive you. That was one of the things that Jesus was really concerned about. Is all these false teachers that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many false teachers out there now, right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's worse and worse and worse all the time. And so I thought I'd bring this up for that reason. I mentioned to somebody the other day, I did some research on a person, like, you know, Paul mentioned false teachers by name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's two people that I've always been a little concerned about, and one person that's in my family really looks to, and that's Joyce Myers and Joel Osteen.
Right.
And I consider both of them to be false teachers.
Well, and when you bring that up, of course, you know, I was just sharing this morning in our Bible study before our morning service, and it's something that we've talked about on the radio too frequently in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, where Paul's worrying about the perilous times, and you know, and the evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and he gives the key there to knowing the scriptures. And
right.
And so that is the key. I believe that one of the number one reasons that a lot of our people in our churches are being taken in by false teachers, it's not that they're any more gullible than anybody else. It's that they simply don't know the scriptures.
Right.
And oftentimes that's the fault of the pastors in these churches, because unfortunately there are some pastors who like to have the preeminence. In other words, they like to be the sole source of biblical knowledge and authority within the church, and they do not encourage their own people to become independently expert in the scriptures, if I could put it that way, I guess.
And my thinking is, too, is that, you know, we should all study like a pastor would study.
Yeah.
You know, like even though we don't end up not becoming pastors, we should
right.
like a pastor.
You know, and let me read something. This is what I used this morning, because, you know, I'm going through this Bible study or this study called Baptists in the Bible. I mean, I'm a Baptist pastor. We are a Baptist church. But this was a series of messages that was preached in 1916, you know, over 100 years ago. And one of the reasons, and I had found this online a month or two ago, and I thought, this is going to be, you know, interesting to study, because think about the early 1900s, the time frame, and how the world was in such turmoil. World War II was going on. In a few years, the Spanish flu epidemic was going to occur. The advent of electricity, telephones, the automobile, flight, all this stuff, the world was changing, and things were unstable. And in this particular lesson that he's talking about the confessions of faith that people were putting together to help them know what they believed and why they believed it. And he makes this quote here. He says this, and this I think pertains to what you're saying too. He says, not only the learned, but the unlearned in due use of ordinary means may attain unto sufficient understanding them. He's talking about being able to understand the scripture, the things that are in the scriptures. And let me read that again, that not only the learned, but the unlearned, meaning the educated, those that have Bible degrees and those that don't, in a due sense of ordinary means. Ordinary means means, do you have the ability to read and understand the language and maybe use a dictionary? And by ordinary means may attain unto a sufficient understanding of them, means that you as an individual Christian, with or without a theological degree, if you have a reasonable ability to read and make sense of what you read and maybe use a dictionary or a few tools, you can attain a sufficient understanding of the doctrines of the scriptures as an individual Christian, not a pastor, not a teacher. And that ties in just what you were saying.
You know, it just starts with getting up and doing it.
Yes, exactly.
It's done, eh? That's what I'm saying.
The scriptures, it talks about reading them, getting into them, and knowing what they have to say.
And discipline ourselves every day.
Yeah.
Whosoever doesn't pick up his cross and follow me daily is not worthy of me, says.
Right.
You know, we need to search the scriptures every day, and that's what I believe Jesus is saying here, because we need to know the word of God so that we don't get duped.
Right.
And believing things that we shouldn't.
Yeah. And like I said, this guy doing this series in 1916, the world was changing. It was so destabilized compared to, you know, hundreds of years, people live life more or less the same. But when you go from the late 1800s to the early 1900s, the whole world was turned upside down. So many things changed. And the instability of the times, what he was saying is the same thing that Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You got to know the scriptures. You got to know the scriptures. And it applies to us today. The world is a chaotic place. So many changes taking place, so many threats, perilous times. You got to know the scriptures.
Yeah, and I believe during the tribulation, it's even going to get worse.
Oh, it'll be even more important then, because obviously those will be really perilous times, and you got to know the scriptures.
And Satan.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah, Satan is going to be out there, and he's going to be, he knows the word of God better than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And his fallen angels are going to be out there doing the same thing, or there are people that are prophets and teachers, false teachers are going to be out there.
Yeah.
At full force.
Well, and this is why I encourage people to buy extra Bibles. Get a box of Bibles, some King James Bibles. Stick them under your bed. Stick them in the back of the closet. Stick them in the trunk of your car, whatever. Because when the tribulation is going on, people are going to have a hard time finding Bibles. Over in the book of Amos, he talks about a famine in land, not of food and everything, but a famine of the Word of God, lack of the Word of God. And, you know, we, as believers, we're going to be caught up out of the world, you know, to be with the Lord. We're going to meet him in the air, and we'll be there during the tribulation time. But the people who are left behind, you know, I'm looking at my Bible here, and I'm looking at the notes that I have and the references that I have written in there. I'm hoping and praying that somebody during the tribulation will be able to pick up my Bible and use that to learn the scriptures, and that some of the Bibles that I have in a box, you know, that they'll be able to distribute them to others, and others will come to know and understand the scriptures, because you and I won't be there to teach them. So they're going to have something left behind to hopefully they learn from.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not.
Today's the day of salvation.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to be saved before the rapture takes place, the catching away of the believers. But for those who are left behind, you know, they're going to need the scriptures even more in that day. Perilous times with evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy saying that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. But what about somebody who hasn't that advantage? Well, hopefully we can leave behind some good Bibles and some good Bible commentaries and notes and things that they can learn from.
It's good that, you know, the parents spend a lot of time with their kids too, believing Christians, like, need to spend time with their kids and bring them up in the admiration of the Lord so they won't depart when they get older.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, Paul had commended Timothy's mother and his grandmother for doing just that, investing time in young Timothy to help him to know and to understand the scriptures. And that's why he was able to say, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, because if it weren't for his godly mother and his godly grandmother, he wouldn't have had that. What is that? Well, that's the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so these two women, his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, invested time in young Timothy, so that from a child he would know the Holy Scriptures.
And Paul was like a spiritual dad to Timothy.
So he helped him, and that's where he also said there in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Meaning, remember what I taught you. Remember how I expounded on the Scriptures and helped you to understand them. So hopefully, there's good Bible teachers out there.
Yeah, and we have to be very attentive to what people are saying, too. Like, we can't just sit there and vegetate on what we're going to do after church. We need to listen to what the pastor is saying.
Right, right. And I have no doubt that during the tribulation period, God is certainly going to raise up teachers and preachers from the new Christians in that time frame. But, you know, how much better to have the advantage that Timothy had of knowing the scriptures from the time that you were a child and sitting underneath godly people like Paul to learn and have the things opened up to you?
Yes, absolutely.
So,
no, this whole chapter talks about end times and all that. And
yes.
And yeah. False prophets shall arise and deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Mm-hmm.
And but he that endures him to the end, the same shall be saved.
Yeah.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And just and oh yeah, this is one thing that I was meditating on too, and something came to me more clear. As when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place,
mm-hmm.
Whosoever readeth, let him understand. What came to me is that there has to be a third temple.
Yes.
Because how can the abomination of desolation? How can the Satan is going to be in that temple somehow?
Yeah, he's well. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the son of perdition who would be the Antichrist, the going in and declaring him, showing himself to be God. Into that temple. That reminded me of something there, and I had mentioned to Cheryl, we talked about at that National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance that was in Washington, D.C. last Wednesday. They had an update in there, which was kind of interesting, dealing with the third temple, and we've mentioned before on the program the red heifers.
Yep.
Remember, we talked about that?
Two red heifers, yep.
Yeah, well, they've got three of them, apparently. And apparently, this year, they are ready. Ones that they've had in the past, by the time they have to reach a certain age, they can't be too young, but they can't be too old. So they have a little window when they can use them. And they cannot have any off-colored hairs at all, not even one. And so they're carefully inspected, and they've had several in the past that they thought might be available, and usually like a dark hair or a light-colored hair has occurred, and so they're no longer available. But apparently the ones that they have right now, they've got apparently, I guess, three that are certified as acceptable. And one other thing that was kind of interesting, they came from the States. And they were shipped to Israel. And this is what makes it kind of interesting. I didn't really think about it until they mentioned it. But normally here in the United States and in Canada, what do they do when they have a calf born? They put a tag in the ear, right?
Right.
Well, when they do that, what do? They put a hole in the ear.
Right.
Guess what? If the red heifer is perfect, but it has a hole in the ear, it's blemished now and it can't be used. These were never, they never had a hole put in their ear. They just had it sort of clipped on. So there was no blemish as a result. But something else that's interesting is, and I didn't realize this, but apparently in the red heifer ceremony, the next time they do this, it'll be the 10th one. So there's been 9 before. Moses, of course, doing the first one. Excuse me. Still got that cough hanging on. But apparently when they do the process, the red heifer has to be sacrificed and everything take place on ground that is the same level as the Temple Mount, or the same level as the Holy of Holies, and within sight of it. And the general belief in Israel is that where the Dome of the Rock is, that is the site of the Holy of Holies, right there where the rocky outcrop is. And so the question is, how do you do this off the Temple Mount, but yet the same level and within sight? Well, you got to be over like on the Mount of Olives or something. And they actually now have a piece of land that is level and it's the same elevation as the rocky outcrop there in the Dome of the Rock, and you can see it. You say, so what do they do then? Well, then they build like a causeway so that you never go up, you never go down. You stay the same level the entire way once you process the red heifer and you have the ashes and the water and all that, so that it never descends, it never goes up. It has to stay the same level. And they have the land established. And they, in the past, what they've done is they've built like a wooden bridge. That's why there's no archaeological remains, because it was always like a temporary bridge. And so they have the ability now to, they have the red heifer, they have the land where it would be prepared, and it's in sight of the Temple Mount, and specifically the Dome of the Rock, where they can build a level causeway right over there. The only thing they're missing now is access to the land where the Dome of the Rock is. Right. So, got me to thinking, with all of the stuff that's going on in Israel right now in the Middle East, the terror attacks, the missiles from Hamas and Hezbollah and different ones, how hard would it be for an errant missile to blow up the Dome of the Rock?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That could be a possibility.
Yeah, and of course...
And doesn't that land where the Dome of the Rock is, doesn't that land belong to Israel in the first place?
Oh, yeah, it's in the center of Jerusalem, but they allow right. Jordan to administrate it right now. But certainly, if something happened there, the Israelis would be blamed regardless of who does it, but that might clear the way, so to speak. And the evidence for the Dome of the Rock being the location for the temple and the Holy of Holies is that King Herod, back before Jesus was born, put a lot of effort into expanding the Temple Mount. And they've done tests with ground-penetrating radar trying to ascertain the original contours. And they have shown with ground-penetrating radar that where the Dome of the Rock is the original peak of the Temple Mount. So this is interesting. This would be the spot where, remember, where Isaac, Abraham was called to take Isaac to sacrifice him. I mean, God never wanted him to sacrifice him. He was just seeing if Abraham was willing. And it's also the threshing floor. Was it or I'm going to get it wrong. I want to say Oren or something like that, where the plague that was striking the Jewish people, and David bought his threshing floor and his oxen and his threshing instruments to sacrifice, and the plague was stayed. It's believed that's the same location. So, hey, we're coming out of time here, or running out of time here. We got about 20 seconds, and we're going to hit a hard break here. But hopefully that covered some of your questions there, too, tonight, Terry.
Yes, there's a lot said. I believe I encourage people to meditate on the word day and night.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And call us back again. We're out of time. Stay tuned. We got another hour to go in the program tonight. Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches, America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. Vote and make them feel the heat.